This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. 4 years ago, President Donald Trump won Michigan with fewer than 11,000 votes. That was the first time since George H.W. Bush's victory in 1988 that a Republican presidential candidate won the state. Now, former Vice President Joe Biden has won Michigan, swinging state support back into the blue column. The Republican ticket this year did turn out more voters than in 2016. It was not quite enough to overtake the additional voters that showed up to vote Democratic. We've been very curious about how the state Republican Party has shifted these past few years and what issues and policies GOP folks might have on their minds going forward. Today, we're checking in with two political veterans and former state party chairs, Susie Avery and Bobby Shostak, to hear what's on their minds right now. Susie, Bobby, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Susie, you were chair of the state party from 1995 to 1996. And Bobby, you led the party in Michigan from 2011 to 2015. Could we just have both of you talk a little bit about some of the differences between the Republican Party in Michigan then and now?
So I was finance chair for 2 years under previous chair Ron Weiser, and then I followed him for 4 years. And so I came in pre-Snyder, then we got Snyder elected, and then I served 2 years following that and got him reelected. And what we were able to accomplish then was a significant increase in fundraising. When I say significant, probably double the high point of any previous administration at the party. And as a result, we had capabilities to do things that are very rare for a state party. We were the envy, frankly, of the nation, of the other chairs, because we had capital to invest in technology, to invest in voter turnout, to invest in absentee ballot chase, election day operations, and so forth. And it was, frankly, a lot of it what made the difference in Governor Snyder's reelect. Because if you recall, it got very narrow at the end.
What makes the difference in terms of money is motivating people with issues that they want to see action on. What were the issues that you feel like really were able to get the party in a position to compete?
I mean, the issues changed so much. I mean, when I was there, it was right to life, abortion, schools, private versus charters, and all this kind of stuff. The issues have changed significantly, but I have to just take off my hat to Bobby and to Ron, because Ron Weiser, because as chairman, they did what no other chairman in the United States, they did stuff that nobody really understood why they were doing it at the time. And it turned out that they were doing it to get a winning ticket.
So fast forward to 2016, and Donald Trump comes onto the scene and wins using a strategy that many traditional Republicans said wouldn't work. He did not talk about traditional Republican issues like limited government and fiscal conservatism. He had an overtly populist mission about pride in America and American jobs, and sometimes said overtly nationalist and racist things. What did you make of him at the time?
Well, one thing he did was he energized the party. I mean, there's a lot of energy still around him in Michigan. So he brought people in who had not voted before, to be blunt about it. He raised the level of African-Americans who voted for him in Michigan. He raised the level of Hispanics and Latinos in Michigan who voted for him. My husband and I own a golf course, and it's a very low-end golf course. It's a dollar a hole. I mean, it's in Jackson, Michigan, if you ever want to play it. But anyway, he talked the way the people we meet talk. I mean, they didn't like the fact that in D.C., they didn't feel that anybody was listening to the common guy, you know, the guy who's living paycheck to paycheck and who drinks Bud Light and just likes to go out and bowl and golf and hunt. So I think that put something back into the Republican Party, that we weren't always on this real high plane of rich white people talking about stuff.
I also think that he was the outsider. And he was able to connect with people because of that. I think the American public, the voting public, has had it, and at that time had it, with the traditional, you know, politician operating in the same way, being in the swamp, as he referred to it, for too long, and being influenced by the swamp. And he came in, he was the disruptor. You know, it's unfortunate from my perspective that he didn't clearly win re-election and we're in this mess that we're in. Hopefully we'll sort out all the voting issues around it. The results will be the results and we'll move on from there. But I think it's completely understandable and explainable why Donald Trump won last time.
We can say now that Donald Trump's effect on the Michigan electorate this time around was a mixed bag. He unquestionably boosted Republican turnout, but also Kent County went blue. Some other traditionally Republican counties, like Leelanau County, showed higher support for Biden, or at least less support for Trump. And you've got reliably GOP suburbs like Livonia and Dexter and Chelsea going for Joe Biden.
But the Republicans held the House. And not only did they hold the House, I mean, the political wisdom has always been whoever is on the top of the ticket will win all the university board seats. That has been in place for 40 years. What we found this time is, okay, Biden might have won, but you know what? Republicans won three seats. I mean, we won one on the U of M board, one on the Michigan State board, and one on the U of M, Michigan State, and Wayne State. So people are no longer voting just by straight party tickets. Like Bobby said, they're voting for the candidate. Now, okay, they came out and they voted for Biden, but you know what? They also voted a Republican person from Kent County, Pete Meyer, into the Congress. They also voted a person from a new congresswoman out of St. Clair County. So I don't think it's as easy just to say, well, Michigan's turned blue. I think it's more reasonable to say, okay, there was people that voted for Biden, but then they went over and they voted for Republicans too. A very interesting phenomenon, I think, in terms of this election.
Well, I think the question is less, is Michigan going to turn blue again, but what flavor of red might it be able to stomach? I mean, is the head of the party right now Donald Trump, or is it the party of Rick Snyder going forward? Bobby, what do you think?
I don't know what the party of Rick Snyder means. You're talking about for the state of Michigan, I guess. No, when there's a Democrat in the office, the leader of the party is the party chairman. And the party is going to reflect those values of the state committee and reflect the values of the county chairs and so forth, the district chairs. And they will huddle up in the midwinter and prepare their platform for how to take on the governor in the next election and so forth. You know, Susie mentioned, you know, the voting this year, particularly the state house. We weren't expecting to be able to keep the state house, and they worked their tails off, and we have the same margin going into next year that we have currently, which is remarkable in a year like this. So, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about what the party will be, what it will represent, and the success going forward. Again, it's important that they raise the money and they communicate the message, and they have the technology. And I think that they built on what was done before them and continue to make it better. They're going to do just fine.
Right now, we've got a state party chair who is echoing Donald Trump's interest in challenging the election results, repeating baseless accusations of there being widespread fraud in Wayne County, despite the fact that Joe Biden won on a margin that was not that close. I guess my question is, it seems like the party reckoning over Donald Trump and whether he continues to be the way forward is kind of being delayed by this whole election process. How long can Michigan's Republican Party continue to stick to what Donald Trump is saying when he is the guy who lost the election?
All right, let me respond. You used the word baseless accusations. Okay, there is affidavits signed by individuals who were told to backdate ballots at Cobo Hall at TCF. So that's not baseless, okay, number one. Number two is there was clearly some sort of computer glitch that was discovered at Antrim County. That same software suite, not necessarily all of it, but the same suite was used in 47 counties in the state. So whether the margin is big enough to overcome the 100 and some odd thousand votes, you know, that's problematic, but we'll find out, I guess. But I think it's fair that when roughly half the population, voting population, voted for the president, Donald Trump, that we make certain for our future that all legal ballots are counted. Now, whether it'll turn around the election is a secondary issue, change the results. And I think it's important, and Laura Cox has taken a position that's the right position, that let's explore where these deficiencies came. And it'll take some time, but not a lot of time. It won't take as long as time as it did with Bush v. Gore. That went on and on forever. So I think it's fair to make certain that we have honest, accurate, without fraud elections.
So the affidavits that you're talking about are part of a case that is not going forward in court because the judge found the accusations baseless. And Chris Thomas, longtime Michigan Secretary of State, and somebody who people of both parties expressed a lot of respect for, has clarified what happened, that clerk employees forgot to enter dates into the qualified vote file computer system. The absentee ballots were stamped having been received, but they weren't entered into the computer system as having been received. He characterized that as a clerical error. Also, the Antrim County situation was overseen by a Republican clerk who spent so much time answering angry phone calls from voters once the story got out in the media that she had trouble reporting results in a timely fashion. I mean, I don't see how the party can keep holding on to the narrative unless it's with an understanding that Donald Trump's future in the party is assured. It sounds like where we're going with this is that he is still the head of the party. Would you agree?
Well, he's currently the president, and he's currently the head of the Republican Party. What that means in the future is to be determined. But I don't think that all of the cases are dismissed. And I think that until that has all been litigated or dismissed, we won't know the final results. And I think it's fair. Like I said, I don't know, and I doubt whether it will change the results in Michigan, but in other states where it's, 10,000 and 20,000 votes, it might. And so it's their right to make certain that the all legal votes were counted properly. And we should allow them to do that. 70 million voters voted for each side. Okay. But if the shoe was on the other foot, they'd have the same expectation.
One of the things Donald Trump was able to do was break this consensus that the Democratic Party is the party of blue-collar workers and blue-collar white union workers in particular. This shift over the past few cycles has been really strong for the party, like you say, drawing in people who haven't been involved before. Susie, I had a question for you, though. This past round of election results shows the Democratic Party picking up more suburban voters and more women. You're former chair of the Michigan Women's Commission. What do you make of the fact? I mean, does the Republican Party need to lean in to try to win some of those voters back? And if so, how to do that?
Well, I mean, the fact that there were more voters, period, for the Democrats for the Democratic presidential in terms of suburban women. And I have to say, in some other areas, will probably be something for that Republicans will be discussed. But I do have that we'll be discussing and we'll be talking about that as Bobby said next year when they start to develop all the policies and the platform. But what I find incredible in all this is that the numbers of suburban women who came out was significantly more than in 2016. So everyone is comparing this to 2016. The problem in 2016 is there was not as many voters that came out. So you're seeing more suburban women voting for Biden. But the thing is that those were Hillary Clinton voters that did not vote for Hillary. They didn't like her. I'm sorry. There was a whole big deal in Michigan. I know Hillary's people disagree with me, and we've had several arguments about it. But she was a bad candidate. And people, whether you were a suburban woman or an urban man or whatever, you didn't like her. And so the vote was not there. I just think we're comparing it to 2016 when we should just be looking at it from a 2020 perspective.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Susie Avery and Bobby Shostak. They've both spent time as chair of Michigan's Republican Party, and we're talking about the party's future after Donald Trump. How does the Republican Party in Michigan need to address race and how Donald Trump talks about race?
Well, I think we started to do that. We've set up urban centers now. We have co-chairs that have gone out into the community, start talking. I mean, we know that you can't just go to a big event and show up and say, oh boy, here's a Republican, you know, isn't this great? I mean, we know we have to do things like go to barbershops, and we have to start meaningful dialogues that neither side is afraid to talk about. We try to do that in MPLP, actually. We have several discussions about race that are difficult, but because there's a trust there and they know each other, it's easier to do it within that particular area. And I think that can be done in the Republican Party also. And I think it is being done, to be quite blunt about it.
Yeah, I was going to say it is being done. It's been done for years. We need to be, people want to be involved with their own people in leadership positions, in elected positions, in the driver's seat for discussions is these exact topics. And I think the Republican Party for years has been very inclusive and taking on difficult discussions by doing what should be done. And that's full participation by everyone who wants to be involved. We're welcome. We're a big tent. We're available for opinions and perspectives. And we got to be good listeners. And I think we've been doing it. We got to continue to do it. Donald Trump's comments that, you know, you and others and often people find inappropriate, you know, need to be considered as well. And the process of being inclusive and having inclusion, we got to face that and address it and make all folks comfortable to be a part of the Republican agenda, the conservative agenda, the agenda that's best for our state. And its future and everybody's children.
This is a year when the only Republican candidate who was a person of color was also a Senate candidate. And that's John James. And he lost to Gary Peters. He did not do well in Detroit or Oakland County, but perhaps better in Oakland County than some people expected. How then does that support the Republican Party moving forward with diverse candidates and diverse issues?
Well, I don't see the Democratic Party having anyone of color serving as a U.S. senator from Michigan.
Fair. I just wanted to ask what both of you want to see the party do and focus on going forward. Susie, do you want to start? And then Bobby, we'll hear from you, too.
Well, I think we proved in the House races that if you have great candidates, you will win elections. And it necessarily sometimes isn't built on name ID or who is your mother, who is your father, or anything like this. That's why America is such a good place to be able to run for office, unlike most other countries. You can just get out there and state what you want to and see if they accept what you want to. And I always tell people who lose on both sides of the aisle, actually, that, you know, this isn't the end of it. Come in here and run again. Come back. Come to party meetings. Come to see what the Republican Party is all about. And I think the more people at the table who sit around the table and who are in the room are terrific. And I think that's what the Republicans are doing now.
How about you, Bobby? Are these gains and then the possibility of the next couple of years, are they in spite of what just happened in this election or because of it?
Yeah, I think the gains are going to come from what Susie said. And elections are won and parties are built around ground games, around voter engagement, around volunteers doing what they need to do to connect the candidates with the agenda, with the platform, and with the voters to win. It's always hard to beat an incumbent governor in office, but we have the Senate to protect, and we just like we do with the House this year. And I'm sure we'll field a strong gubernatorial candidate and we'll do the best we can to win that seat back. But even if we don't, keeping the Senate Republican is a top priority. And the party needs to build itself around that agenda. That's our firewall. for Republicans to keep things in check.
You know, I know what you're saying is true. And I know that you believe what you're saying is true about the shoe leather and the volunteerism and the work. However, arguably, the party is still in the grip of a leader who is talking less about candidates and doing the work and connecting with voters, and more about an election that was improperly conducted and trying to talk to people about a sense of entitlement about their fellow Americans. Is that the reality of what's happening on the ground right now?
Well, I mean, you want to keep coming back to this question, this issue, you know, is this Donald Trump Republican Party, you know, going to be, you know, forever the message and the approach? And, you know, regardless, you know, of anyone's individual opinion, state parties will develop their priorities and develop their message and communicate that throughout the state to do what needs to be done. And that's to be victorious. And so I'm less concerned about, you know, I think what you're trying to get to is, you know, alienation of voters because of messaging coming out of the president. Well, I understand the concern, and I'm not saying that there isn't an impact to voters on that dialogue. But what's more important is what our candidates say who are running for office. What's more important is what our volunteers motivated and inspired to do what needs to be done to win elections. And the party chair, the county chairs, the infrastructure, state committee and all, when they come together, it's a powerful force to inspire the outcomes that we need. We've done it before, and we'll do it again. And we've got a good infrastructure in place going back now a decade and going into the future that's going to continue to make it a strong Republican Party of Michigan and a strong group of messengers to help take it out to the public.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for being here. It's obviously an extremely interesting time for the Republican Party with a lot of things still in flux. Bobby Shostak is with Mad Dog Technology and with Templar Baker Consulting, former chair of the Michigan Republican Party. And Susie Avery has been with us too, a former state party chair who's now co-chair of the Michigan Political Leadership Program at Michigan State University.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.